testing a BCP. Organizations must regularly test BCP to ensure that they are up to date and effective. Organizations must include DR drill plans, BCP drill plans, so that they are very effective and very well up to date. Organizations should involve their internal auditors, including IS auditors, to audit the effectiveness of BCP. The audit should not just include the test of design or TOD, but also include the test of effectiveness, TOE, to be done by the auditors so that they check both design level issues or gaps as well as the effectiveness level gaps in case of any BCP plan. Organizations should consider having a BCP drill planned along with critical third parties and vendors. BCP drill should not just be planned within an organizational departments, but also include the vendors of the third party, which are involved in various different business processes. Organizations should also periodically move their operations from one geographic location to other geographic locations. There should be testing of business operations continuity continuously. Organizations should consider having unplanned BCP drill or ad hoc ITDR plans or ITDR execution. We have seen various capital markets across the globe to shift their business operations from data center to the near DR sites or near disaster recovery or far disaster recovery on a real-time basis, as they contain critical information and the RPOs has to be as less as possible. The testing techniques for BCP include tabletop testing for scenarios, simulations, technical recovery testings, technical recovery at an alternate site, testing supplier facilities and services, and complete rehearsals. Tabletop testing scenarios for senior management is very well required, as they might have certain scenarios which might be talked through or might be considering different business scenarios. Tabletop exercise ideally involves higher management and board of directors. Simulations and technical recovery testing or testing recovery at an alternate site must be done by the technical operations team and IT operations team. Testing the supplier facilities and services should always be a part of the third-party risk assessments which we conduct on a regular basis. The complete rehearsals of the entire end-to-end BCP plan must be executed at least once in an annual plan, so that the availability of the business continuity plan is very well thought through and they are very well updated. Simulation testing. It is when participants choose a specific scenario and simulate on a location of a BCP situation. It involves testing of all resources which are required to enable the business continuity for a chosen scenario, for example, an earthquake incident or a fire incident. The focus is on demonstrating the capability, including knowledge, team interaction, decision-making capabilities, and also different gaps and different role-playing situations which would stimulate the response in account of certain disaster would come up or crop up while such discussions. The gaps and unavailability of certain resources and untrained staff will also come into highlight while doing simulation testing. It can also specify a role-playing with simulated response to act out critical steps, recognize difficulties, and resolve problems, if any, while doing such simulation testing. Coming to component testing, this is to validate the functioning of an individual part or a sub-process in the event of BCP invocation. BCP invocation is usually done by the senior-most management or by the CEOs or CMDs so that they can start execution of the business continuity. The component testing also focuses on in-depth testing of the part or the sub-process to identify and prepare for any risk that may hamper its smooth functioning. Every organization must define the frequency, schedule, and clusters of business areas that they are thought through before a thorough risk assessment and a business impact analysis has been done through. There are different aspects of a BCP. There are procedural aspects of BCP, infrastructural aspects of BCP, the human aspects of BCP, and technological aspects of BCP. Procedural aspects basically are for the different procedures and processes of business continuity. Infrastructure deals with facility management, location management for both people as well as technology. Human aspects deal with the availability of resources on the human aspect as well as training, cross-functional training, and other learning curves. The technological aspects purely deals with IT recovery, technology recovery, RTOs and RPOs for the in case of a BCP. Talking about procedural aspects of BCP, an effective BCP should consider the potential of wide area disasters which impact entire region, resulting in inaccessibility of the staff. Organizations should also consider the need to put in place necessary backup sites for the critical payment systems. Organizations may also consider running critical processes from both primary and secondary sites in a live-life scenario wherein each would provide backup to each other. And this also ensures that the RPO is set to as minimum as 0 milliseconds kind of a lag, because both primary and secondary sites are running in parallel and providing the continuity of the critical processes. Comprehensive testing procedures should also be carried out to fine-tune the BCP-DR processes. All critical processes should be documented in SOPs, in various plans, and this basically reduces the dependency on personnel for scenarios where the staff is not able to reach to the designated office premises. Also, the staff might not be trained or the staff might be new, but if the staff is new and there are documents in place or documents kept handy for the particular staff, the staff can refer to those documents and carry out the critical processes in case of any critical business continuity scenario. Backup and standby personnel should be identified for all critical roles. The relevant portion of BCP should be decimated to all concerned so that the awareness would enable them to react positively and in consensus with the BCP. Organizations should formulate a clear communication strategy with the help of media management personnel. As I said, in case of disasters, even various communication lines and communication strategies might not be available. Right, from telecommunication unavailability to internet unavailability, and print and streaming media might not be also available. In such a scenario, the ways to approach to the end users or clients saying that we are available and we are at the considering disasters and certain processes are not running in normal should be very well communicated so that the customers can approach the right personnel at the right time. The guidelines should have exceptions document for a few critical processes which would be having exceptions. Infrastructural aspects of BCP. Organizations should pay special attention to availability of basic amenities such as electricity, water, first aid, and basically these are facility management aspects and the facility availability. Facility when I talk is basically the place where the head offices, branch offices, or the locations where people of the organization are coming and working. Organizations should assign ownership for emergency procedures, manual fallback plans, and resumption plans to the individuals. In-house telecommunication systems and wireless transmitters on buildings should have backup power. Always, multiple lines and multiple power grids should also be catered to. We have seen in scenarios wherein cyber crime scenarios or cyber espionage or state-sponsored cyber attacks we have been specially targeted to power grids of various nations. In a very recent situation, we had seen Russian state-sponsored attackers trying to sabotage Ukraine's power grid. Hence, power supply must be a critical aspect while ensuring the business continuity. Alternative services should be carried out in coordination with the service providers, third-party vendors, contractors, and suppliers under the written agreement or SLAs or the contract. When the new requirements are identified, established, the emergency procedures should be amended as and when appropriate. Organizations can consider having backup resources at a secondary operational site so that they can be functionally trained to carry out the entire business. The plans can be suitably aligned with those of the local government authorities and local rules. Critical papers, files, servers should not be stored on the ground floor where there is a possibility of floods and water logging. Fireproof and waterproof storage areas should be considered for critical documents. Document holding, storage holding services should also be thought through or considered for storing documents on a secure site at a secure location. There exist multiple vendors who assist various organizations in storing the such critical files and offline data. Organizations should consider an alternate source of power may be in-house hosted or can be up a different power grid. Organizations should have an emergency helpline number to reach to in case of any BCP emergency. Talking of human aspects of BCP, or the people part in the people process technology, BCP should have a separate selection relating to people for staff welfare, counseling, and relocation considerations. BCP awareness program be conducted to be strengthening the staff involvement in BCP. Organizations must consider training more than one individual for specific critical jobs and also conduct cross-functional training for critical business processes. Organizations can also consider possibility of enabling work from home capabilities, or IT team can provide VPN networks or VPN tokens for connecting to critical components or critical servers for their critical staff. Talking of technology aspects of BCP, there are many applications and services in an organization system that are mission critical in nature and therefore requires high availability, fault tolerance as a key component while considering the design level itself. The aspect is to be taken into account specifically while designing the data center solution and corporate network solution. Full-time availability or high availability basically ensures that in case there is one system component failure, the entire business process is not relying on single hardware or a single resource. And there are in parallel available other resources which would assist in case there is some network or system level failure. The data recovery strategy. Organization's BCP must indicate key metrics of data recovery strategy, namely the recovery point objective and recovery time objective. Recovery point objective must ensure that the maximum tolerable data loss for each activity is not exceeded, whereas the recovery time objective must ensure that the maximum tolerable period of disruption for which the activity is never exceeded. Backups made to tape and sent off off-site locations at regular intervals ensure that the recovery point objective is made as minimum as possible. Backups made to disk on-site and automatically copied to off-site disk or made directly or off-site disk is also a solution. Replication to the data to an off-site location which overcomes the need to restore the data is generally makes use of SAN, that is Storage Area Network technology. As I said, there have been advances in the data storage networks as well as the telecommunication networks which assists various data centers likes of cloud service providers of AWS, Azure or Google Cloud to have near real-time replication of data from one storage location to other storage location. High availability of systems that keep both data and system replicated off-site, enabling continuous access to systems and data, is very much required. Disaster prevention measures. Local mirrors of system or data must be kept. Use of risk protection technology such as RAID, RAID levels 1 to 0 or 5 must have been, at least RAID level 5 is actually recommended for including the replication of data at a particular local site itself. Surge protectors to minimize the effect of power surges on delicate electronic equipment must be thought through. UPS or uninterrupted power supply using battery backups or backup generator or diesel generators to generate alternate source of power should also be kept going in case of a power failure. Fire alarms, fire extinguishers must also be placed at adequate locations to avoid any fire scenario. There have been cases in data centers where the only fire extinguishers has to be gas proof and it cannot be some other standards, especially with likes of usage of water on electric systems. It should be always thought through that never ever use water to put off a fire which has been occurred in data center, because water would basically increase the fire instead of extinguishing it. Hence, various FPS standards or global standards gases have been there, and so powder-based technologies are also used to put off the fire in data centers. Antivirus software and security measures are also very much, because disasters which are man-made are very closely going away from fire to cyber fire, basically cyber crime, cyber threat, and as I said, a nation-sponsored cyber attacks or cyber warfare. Hence, security measures must be well thought through and placed to avoid any kind of disaster. Identifying the events that denote potential disasters should also be done in the planning exercise. identifying personnel who would have authority to declare a disaster and thereby put the plan into effect and invoke the BCB plan must be specifically pointed out and have that power to invoke the BCB plan. Identifying the sequence of activities once the senior most manager or the senior most available resource has invoked the BCB, then what all activities will be carried out post that should be well thought through and planned. Prepare the backup sites once disaster has been declared and make the backup site up, resilient and go live at a very fast speed so that the RTO is met, must be ensured. Defining the roles and responsibilities of key personnel with respect to carrying out a plan must be very well planned in this disaster recovery planning. The DR planning also must have the arrangement for the inventory of necessary hardware and software required to restore the production activities. Inventory management is very, very critical because time and again we have seen IT operations keep on changing this hardware and software locations and the server locations, network addresses, IP addresses, which is not inconsistent with the inventory, which is maintained manually. Hence, an automated inventory or automated discovery tools can be used in such a scenario so that a latest record of all IT applications which are kept in which server is maintained both at the DR side, the recovery site, as well as the primary site. Preparing a schedule for the personnel that will be staffing the backup site should also be available. A disaster recovery plan must be a living document. The plan must be updated time and again to reflect the changes. The disaster recovery actions must emerge out of business continuity plan and management. The technology solution architecture must be designed with high availability and no single point of failure. Talking of single point of failure, also known as SPOF, are basically single systems which would fail and bring down the entire data center. Hence, always while we are trying to put security architecture in place, we consider that there is no single point of failure, and even if there is a component which is single and is not having a high availability parallel node, must fail to break open. Break open basically means that if it has gone down, it should not bring the components below it also to a standstill. But if it has gone down, it should basically open the door for the continuation of the business processes. This specifically is considered while keeping in mind the security solutions and security architecture. Periodically investigating the outages, which can be the potential disasters in future, is also a key step. There have been many investigations which are basically related to UPS battery failures and the heating up of the batteries in case of high temperatures, especially in Indian summer season. Auditing the deployed architecture for all mission critical applications and services must be done as a regular exercise. Network redundancy architecture are link level redundancy at multiple links of ISPs or internet service providers should land on a single site of data center. We should not depend only on just one telecom provider, for example Vodafone or Airtel, but also have multiple parallel links likes of say Jio, BSNL, MTNL. There are many telecom providers and multiple ISPs or internet service providers links should have been used for the link level to increase the link level redundancy. Then there is path level redundancy, and the path level redundancy means that for a single business process there are multiple paths, and if for example a single IP segment has gone down due to certain cyber attack or non-cyber attack, then there is another path available. Root level is also similar state. And then there is equipment level redundancy. That means if one equipment fails, other equipment is kept in parallel in high availability mode, and it helps the equipment level redundancy. And then there is a service provider level redundancy, which ensures that there are multiple service providers providing service and availability for every network. Talking of backup site. Backup site is a location where an organization can easily relocate following a disaster. It is an integral part of the disaster recovery plan and wider business continuity plan of an organization. In some cases, an organization will have an agreement with second organization to operate as a joint backup site. This basically reduces the manpower effort, and the organizations are basically similar in business. There are three main types of backup sites, that is cold site, warm site and hot sites. Cold sites are basically a site wherein I have kept a backup and I will invoke only and only in case there is sudden disaster. It continues to remain off or switched off state in case of business as usual. Warm sites are where certain backups and certain recovery procedures are carried out in a frequent scheduled jobs on a time and periodic basis. Warm sites are not kept at off state but are on a standby state. And there are hot sites, which are basically a live scenario wherein both the data center and the disaster recovery center, DC and DR, both are live and both are acting as DR or replication site for each other. Cold sites. A cold site is the most inexpensive type of backup site for an organization to cooperate. It does not have backed up copies of data from the original location, nor does it have hardware already set up. The site will require considerable additional time for any disaster to have the operations running at a capacity close to that of prior to the disaster. Hot sites. A hot site is a near duplicate of the original site with full computer systems as well as near complete backup of the user data. The real-time synchronization between the two sites is used to mirror the data environment of the original site. Following a disruption to the original site, the hot site would come up for the organization to relocate with the minimal losses to normal operations or business as usual. The capacity of the hot site may or may not match the capacity of the original site depending upon the organization's requirements. Warm site is quite logically a compromise between the hot and cold sites. These sites will have hardware and connectivity already established though on a smaller scale than the original production site or a hot site. Warm sites will have backups on hand, but they may not be having complete or maybe between several days or a week old. This all basically depends on the backup and storage plan which has been put forward in warm site scenario. Implementing a DCDR solution. Solution architectures of DCDR are not identical for all applications and services. Organizations will have to conduct periodical review and upgrade the DR solutions from time to time so as to ensure that the critical applications have perfect replica in terms of performance, availability, RTO and RPO. The configurations of servers, network devices and other products at DC and DR have to be identical. Periodic checks with reference to ensuring data and transaction integrity between DC and DR are mandatory. Solutions to have defined recovery time objective and recovery point objective parameters must be chosen. Value chosen for RTO and RPO are more to follow the industry-wide practices and international benchmarks. Organizations should consider RTO and RPO objectives for their services also, similar to the IT applications. Organizations with significant customer delivery, channel usage, and significant participation in financial markets, payments, and settlements must seriously consider a near-site DR architecture. As I said, a near-site DR is a DR site which exists in the same seismic zone or same geographic location, but it is maintaining copies of data in a very real time and has a 0 millisecond lag between the disaster center, the data center, and the near-site disaster recovery center. Thank you.